No other book has so profoundly impacted so many lives as the Bible.
Welcome to Simply the Bible, the Through the Bible teaching program of Pastor Daryl Zachman of Calvary Chapel, Treasure Valley. Today we see that the Lord tells Habakkuk to write down the vision of what he is about to do and to wait for it to happen. Then God reveals something that is so essential to our salvation that it is quoted 3 times in the New Testament. We hope you join us as Pastor Daryl continues in Habakkuk chapter 2 on Simply the Bible.
The prophet Habakkuk was puzzled. God revealed to him that he was raising up Babylon as his instrument to judge Judah. But how could God use someone as vile and cruel as the Babylonians to punish people who were better than them? Wasn't God endorsing evil by doing this? Habakkuk complained to God, and then he waited for the answer. We continue in Habakkuk chapter 2. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. Habakkuk fully expected God to correct him in some way for his complaints, but what he did was to simply stand watch on the watchtower to see what God was going to do and to listen to what God would say to him. And I think that's a good place to be. You know, at times we don't understand things. We may bare our soul to the Lord. There's stuff that we might even complain about, but there's nothing more we can do until the Lord gives us an answer. And many times that means just waiting in expectation. I find that often when I have presented a problem like that before the Lord, I'll just be reading the word and the answer will come. I just feel like God is speaking to me through his word. It sort of jumps off the page and I know that I have my answer. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So God is giving Habakkuk here a vision. He's going to tell him some stuff that's going to happen. He wants him to write it down on tablets and make it plain so that people could come and read it. It would be public, and then they would be able to run with it. They would know it and expect it and run with it. And so he said the vision is for an appointed time in the future, but wait for it because it will surely come. And that's the thing about anything God says, any promise he makes, that we can know that he is surely going to bring it to pass in its time. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. So behold the proud, that is referring to the Babylonians. His soul is not upright, but the just shall live by faith. And so he's giving Habakkuk and others an encouragement here that yes, indeed, the Babylonians are proud and they are not upright and they're going to get what's coming to them. But those who would believe are going to be the ones who shall live through this. So this little phrase, the just shall live by his faith, is the first assurance we get here in this chapter. And it is the foundation stone for all our salvation. It is quoted 3 times in the New Testament, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and Hebrews 10:38. And this little verse was a life changer for Martin Luther, really leading to the Protestant Reformation. Habakkuk could not understand what God was doing, but faith can go where reason is stuck in the mud. Despite everything that Judah would suffer with the Babylonian invasion and subsequent captivity, those who continued to trust in the Lord would live. And after 70 years, God would bring his people back into their own land. They would need to wait by faith for the fulfillment of this vision, but it would happen in its appointed time. And that is where we find ourselves today. God has given us great promises in his word. He has told us of the trial that is going to come upon the entire world when he judges the proud who have spurned his word and rejected his son, Jesus Christ. But the righteous ones will live by their faith. We hold fast to God's promises to save and to justify everyone who believes in Jesus Christ, even though his promises may tarry, we may have to wait a long, long time, but we wait patiently for them in faith. Now, God reveals to Habakkuk five woes that would come against Babylon. Even though he was raising them up as his instrument of judgment, he would turn around and judge them for their great atrocities. He would not forget justice. Verse 5, indeed, because he transgresses by wine, he is a proud man, and he does not stay at home, because he enlarges his desire as hell, and he is like death, and cannot be satisfied. He gathers to himself all nations and heaps up for himself all peoples. Will not all these take up a proverb against him and a taunting riddle against him and say, woe to him who increases what is not his? How long? And to him who loads himself with many pledges, will not your creditors rise up suddenly? Will they not awaken those who oppress you? And you will become their booty, because you have plundered many nations. All the remnant of the people shall plunder you, because of men's blood and the violence of the land and the city and of all who dwell in it. And so we see that the sin of Babylon was first drunkenness, and then that led to selfish ambition, so that they gathered to themselves from all of the nations and enlarged their own estate at the expense of others. And so they will rise up and have a taunting proverb against Babylon, saying, woe to him who increases what is not his. Those whom they made debtors will rise up and plunder them, and they will basically be plundered as they had plundered others. And in this, we just see the spiritual law of sowing and reaping. We are told God cannot be mocked, but whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. Woe to him who covets evil gain for his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of disaster. You give shameful counsel to your house, cutting off many peoples, and sin against your soul. For the stone will cry out from the wall, and the beam from the timbers will answer it. So here is the second woe. Woe to him who covets evil gain for his house. The idea here is making your house bigger and more secure and more luxurious at the expense of others. We think of those who are rich, but they get their riches by destroying the lives of other people. And that's what happened here. And so, in essence, they were giving shameful counsel to their house. Now, this causes me to think of, is a man who makes evil decisions is really providing a terrible example for the rest of the people in his house. The son of a wicked man is probably going to follow in his father's footsteps, and that is shameful. But not only that, the very stones in their walls and the beams in their rafters would be crying out against them because they had acquired these through ill-gotten gain. Woe to him who builds a town with bloodshed, who establishes a city by iniquity. Behold, is it not of the Lord of hosts that the peoples labor to feed the fire and nations weary themselves in vain? For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. So the next woe here is to those who build with bloodshed, and they would seek to make their name great and build up their city. And of course, Babylon was a great city, an amazing city of the ancient world. The Hanging Gardens of Babylon were one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And yet they had wearied themselves in vain, because what would their glory be? It would not be lived very long. There's nothing left of their glory today. It's all ruins. Whatever's left of it, it was completely devastated and destroyed. And yet, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. This is the second assurance here in this chapter, and it is in contrast to the glory of men, the vainglory of men, in all that they try to do to make a name for themselves. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever. Woe to him who gives drink to his neighbor, pressing him to your bottle, even to make him drunk, that you may look on his nakedness. You are filled with shame instead of glory. You also drink and be exposed as uncircumcised. The cup of the Lord's right hand will be turned against you, and utter shame will be on your glory. So the fourth woe here is to him who gives drink to his neighbor, the purpose to make him drunk so that he may gaze on his nakedness. And this is just the worst sort of manipulation, to manipulate somebody by getting them drunk. And of course, this still happens today. People do this all of the time in order to get what they want. But God says, instead of getting what you want, instead of being filled with the glory you think that this is going to give to you, you will be filled with shame, with guilt. It will come upon you. And then you will drink the Lord's cup. Now, the cup of the Lord is often referred to, which is a cup of judgment. And this would be turned against them. And God would turn what they thought would be glory into shame. For the violence done to Lebanon will cover you, and the plunder of beasts, which made them afraid because of men's blood, and the violence of the land and the city and of all who dwell in it. So they had gone against Lebanon and had cut down their many trees, destroying their forests, also destroying the animals of the forests in order to feed their war machine. So the violence that they had shown there would cover them. What profit is the image that its maker should carve it? The molded image, a teacher of lies, that the maker of its mold should trust in it to make mute idols. Woe to him who says to wood, awake, to silent stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, yet in it there is no breath at all. And this is the fifth woe, but it starts with a simple question. What profit is an image? You think about a carved image, a molded image, it's just a hunk of wood or gold, but it can do you no profit. It's not alive. It can't answer you. It certainly can't save you. And so if you trust in it, it simply is a teacher of lies. You are believing in a lie. And so God says, woe to him who makes such idols. Now, we probably don't have too many people that have a molded image in their living room that they're bowing down to, but many have a master passion in their life that has taken the place of God. And my question would be, can that master passion that you serve, that you get up in the morning for, can that save you on the day of judgment? And this is the problem with people's idols, is that ultimately they don't hear them, they can't answer, they can't save them. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. In contrast to the dead idols, the Lord is sovereign. He's in heaven. He's in his holy temple. He's overseeing all things. He's coming again. And therefore, he just says, let the world be silent before him in reverence. It reminds me of Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Habakkuk had a complaint. He didn't understand how God could use the evil Babylonians. God told him, look, they're going to get theirs. You're going to have to wait for it. Just hang in there, Habakkuk, and you will see the justification of those who trust in me.
You've been listening to Simply the Bible, the Through the Bible teaching program of Pastor Daryl Zachman of Calvary Chapel, Treasure Valley. We're happy to announce that we're building a new facility in Southwest Meridian. For more information or to give toward this project, please visit calvarytv.org/buildingproject. That's calvarytv.org/buildingproject. To listen to previous episodes, check out our Simply the Bible podcast. Tomorrow we will see where Habakkuk prays that God would revive his work and his wrath remember mercy. Then he offers a hymn of praise that he will always rejoice in the Lord, no matter what happens. We hope you'll join us as we conclude the book of Habakkuk on Simply the Bible.